Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
First and foremost, giving honor and glory to God, my Father. I would like to thank Mr. David Baker for providing a tour of the Douglas School last week and sharing historical information with me that I would never have received by simply opening a book. Thank you. Mr. Baker is an asset to the Manhattan community. I would also like to thank Dr. Zia Wiley and Mr. Kevin Bryan for extending the invitation to serve. I never take for granted the importance of being a servant leader, especially this morning. Yesterday would have been the 94th birthday of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. I am honored and humbled to deliver the keynote address for the 2023 Martin Luther King Jr. celebration at the historic Douglas Grade School. As I toured the original rooms of the school last week, I was in awe of the beauty of the facility, old but well kept. I desired to acquire a bird's eye view that the children may have visualized 12 decades ago. As I walked around the room and took a few steps up behind the stage curtain right behind me, I looked out into this empty room and pictured children engaged in classwork, recess, worship services, and convocations in this very room that you sit in this morning. Over the years, I'm certain that the children received personal blueprints for perseverance from very strict educators that saw beyond the classroom setting with the goal of delayed gratification and early preparation for imminent opportunities. Each person employed at the school had a role and a stake in the advancement of the youth. From the original principal, Mr. Eli C. Freeman, to the future principals, Ora Brown, John Diable, Clyde Phillips, Hargis Shoemake, Richard T. Warren, and Fred Wilhoit, to the teachers that passed through the doors during the 58 years that the school operated, Hetty C. Davis, Lillian DeGreat, Ora DeMoss, Emma Hobbs, Marjorie McBrayer Johnson, Miss Jones, Joan Robinson Miller, Beatrice Reddix, and Hetty B. Spearman. And let us not forget the important and significant role that the custodians that were also instrumental in serving the students at the Douglas School played. Robert Brown, M. Dillard, Abraham Hollowell, Wiley Kill, and Harvey Maxwell. I thought it was important to introduce you to the individuals that served in the capacity in these two rooms over a period of 120 years. All jobs and roles were important, all employees special and relevant in the education of the children. If any administrators, teachers, or staff of the Douglas Grade School are here this morning, can you please stand so that we can recognize you? Likewise, if you were a student at the Douglas Grade School, can you please stand so that we can recognize you? As I began preparing for today, I wondered what the former administrators, staff, and students would say to us in 2023 about their transition to the predominantly black Douglas Grade School, followed by their enrollment at predominantly white middle and high schools, and eventually post-secondary education. I considered my own exposure to segregated and integrated school settings as a product of forced busing in Louisville, Kentucky, many years ago. I imagine that the majority of students were honored, excited, and eager to learn, just as I was. Their parents, grandparents, and extended family members communicating the significance of education while reminding them that it was a privilege to attend school, because not everyone has the opportunity to do so. The students, in time, most likely understood sacrifice and hard work. I believe they were not discouraged by the limitations of what they perceived as lack, but recognized instead the wealth what they possessed. And the sense of belonging they acquired from the all-black setting enabled them to gain a better understanding of the value of education and of personal accomplishments that would benefit them in the years to come. An article in Times Higher Education titled "How to Create a Sense of Belonging for Black Students in Majority White Academies," a few of the barriers identified to progression and attainment of higher education for black students include racism, microaggressions, lack of role models, and cultural differences. The article also confirmed understanding the psychology of belonging and its effects on Black students' self-esteem, self-worth, self-identity, and motivation to engage and learn is imperative. The strong leadership at the Douglas School empowered and prepared students to excel. How could I know? How could I be sure in making such statements? I'm glad you asked. January 2023 marks 120 years that the extraordinary Douglas Grade School was constructed. Next July 2024, the Douglas Grade School will celebrate its origins, 120 years of a solid foundation at 901 Yuma Street in Manhattan, Kansas. Polished wood floors, strong and sturdy walls, and robust foundation was intentionally and intricately designed to educate and uplift. Every detail carefully selected with the students in mind. The floors, unlike many of the newer homes today, were made of real wood, strong and intended to last.
Yes.
Listen closely. And you might quite possibly hear the children's tiny feet racing across the room to sit at their desk for the morning lesson. As you glance around the room, you might also take notice of the original walls that not only provided shelter from the elements year-round, but also inspired young adults to embrace great expectations, admirable goals, and unlimited dreams. The chalkboards are still intact and reminders of important resources and tools of the time when paper and pencils at the Black schools were scarce. And most importantly, let's not forget the foundation. The foundation. Although not visible to the eye, we fully understand its impact. Each educator, staff, and student relied upon the very foundation that you embark upon this morning. Foundations are built to withstand tension, but most significant, justice. Think of your own foundation and the compilation of people that impacted your life.
Amen.
Responsible for the person you strive to become. In keeping with the theme this morning, the celebration, true peace is not merely the absence of tension, it is the presence of justice. I deliberated on the four final words of the quote, the presence of justice. This morning, I'd like to use for my title, Proactive Pivot, honoring Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This morning, I will briefly juxtapose Dr. King's focus on justice with lessons taught at the Douglas Grade School on proactive pivots. When we examine the two words and dissect them, we'll see that to be proactive is to create or control a situation, consciously having or showing awareness of and preparation for future decisions. Proactive is the opposite of reactive. Sometimes we might have a tendency to have a knee-jerk reaction in response to circumstances and situations. Many of us have the goal of teaching children and young adults how to plan ahead for class assignments, personal life decisions, and future transitions into the workforce. Drawing from our own experiences, we endeavor to help others alleviate situations associated with problems, our money, our time, that we may have been forced to confront. Personally, I have taken a proactive approach to life since college. Before making major decisions, I consult with relevant and knowledgeable resources. My family's background encouraged me to plan ahead for the past several decades. The second word in my title is pivot, to turn or to rotate, an adjustment or modification made in order to adapt or to improve, or to completely change the way one does something. In Michelle Obama's 2018 book, Belonging, she uses the terminology swerve, to change or to cause direction abruptly, another form of pivot. My mom taught me lessons about pivoting early in life. We moved from a house to an apartment with limited resources. I learned to pivot. When I completed my undergraduate degree and was unable to find employment, my pivot transitioned me to Portales, New Mexico, to pursue a master's degree. With little money, $28, and a one-way Greyhound bus ticket.
Oh yeah.
But with an enormous amount of faith. Best decision I ever made. I enhanced my critical thinking, intrapersonal reflection, and problem-solving skills. The self-awareness I acquired empowered me to pivot, and I transitioned back to Kentucky to pursue another degree. The staff at Douglas School also understood the importance of pivoting. The initial purpose of the 12-decade two-room school has far exceeded its primary intent. How many times have you personally made rock-solid plans only to have them adjusted or even readjusted for a greater purpose or good? We all recognize, sorry, my computer's not cooperating. We all recognize that the Douglas Grade School, constructed in 1904, was built 25 years before the birth of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. However, as we focus our attention on the concerns and topics of the time, between 1900 and the mid-1950s, we see hints of regular, ordinary people determined to make a difference in their communities, state, and world, just like Dr. Martin Luther King. What many of the occupants of 901 Yuma Street may not have realized was their foundations were being carefully assembled to empower and uplift them, their students, their children, grandchildren, as well as future generations to address impending problems and concerns that would be presented in the next century that followed. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things. I'm going to repeat that. God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things.
Amen.
After visiting the Douglas Grade School, my mind flashed back and forth to the unique facility that has witnessed many changes since 1904. I could almost see the children standing and paying close attention as the Negro National Anthem, now referred to as the Black National Anthem, was introduced and recited. Teachers and administrators intentional on building self-esteem, encouragement, hope, and a sense of unity, carefully selected and exposed the students to Black history and news that was meaningful and relevant. Information not likely introduced at predominantly white schools. According to research highlighting the life of Mr. James Weldon Johnson, no relation to me, the creator of the Black National Anthem, he was a writer, civil rights activist, and leader of the National Association of the Advancement of Colored People, for Colored People, NAACP. He was an established writer and was well known during the Harlem Renaissance for his poems, novels, and anthologies, collecting both poems and spirituals of the Black culture. He wrote the lyrics for Lift Every Voice and Sing, which later became known as the Negro National Anthem, as a result of the ongoing civil rights movement and struggles of Blacks following the Reconstruction period, also including the passage of the Jim Crow laws in the South. His younger brother, composer J. Rosamond Johnson, would later set the poem to music. Lift Every Voice and Sing was first recited by a group of 500 students in 1900, 4 years prior to the opening of the Douglas School. In the years that followed, the song was sung across Black communities. James Weldon Johnson wrote, "The school children just kept singing it. They went off to other schools and sang it. They became teachers and sang it. They taught it to other children and sang it. Within 20 years, it was sung across the South and in various parts of the country, well before social media, Facebook, Snapchat, Amen. TikTok, or YouTube. Amen. Some of the teachers at the Douglas School may have very well introduced children to lift every voice and sing as they traveled across the country to enroll in programs for academic preparation and pedagogical training. While some colleges welcome blacks at predominantly white colleges and universities, and Kansas State University was at the forefront, they were not allowed to live in residential halls. Black students were expected to locate housing on their own. Most lived in homes of local community leaders, church members, and friends or relatives. Outside of schoolwork, they would also immerse themselves in their local community through churches, clubs, organizations, fraternities, and sororities. The lessons learned both on and off campus are early examples of their engagement with proactive pivoting. This year, in 2023, sorry, my computer's not cooperating. This year in 2023, Kansas State University will celebrate the sexagenarian centennial, that's 160 years of the first black graduates, Mr. George Washington Owens and Minnie Howe Chen. Both were familiar with pivoting. According to the Morris Department of Special Collections at Kansas State University, George Washington Owens was the son of ex-slaves from Tennessee. His father received the land in Wabanaki County to start a farm. While enrolled at Kansas State University, Owens worked at the university farm, in the dairy, and as a janitor. In just 3 1/4 years, not only did he earn his degree, but he earned his degree with distinction. He would transition to Tuskegee Institute in Alabama and work alongside Booker T. Washington and George Washington Carver. His proactive pivot at Kansas State University enabled him to transition to Tuskegee. Narrative highlighting the life of Mr. Owens, reported by KSU administrators, revealed as the first black graduate, Owens is an example of the work required to navigate the social and systemic constraints of this time to become a successful contributor to his varied communities throughout his life. Lessons learned from pivoting enabled him to chronicle his accomplishments at Tuskegee, as well as his appointment as a faculty member at Virginia Normal and Industrial Institute, now Virginia State University, where he distinguished himself as head of the agricultural program and a leader in vocational agriculture in the South. 2 years later, Minnie Champ earned the distinction of becoming KSU's first black female graduate. According to the Morris Department Special Collections and the Riley County Document Center, Minnie Howe Champ graduated from Kansas State in 1901. While enrolled, she was elected to the Ionian Literary Society, focused on literature, music, and art. After graduating, she taught school in Kansas City, Topeka, and Virginia. She also served as head of the Home Economics Department at Southern University from 1931 to 1938, before returning to Manhattan, Kansas to teach at the Douglas School. She served on the board of the Douglas Center USO during World War II and as director of the Douglas Center in 1946 and was the member of the League of Women Voters. Pivotal lessons from administrators and teachers were shared with students, including the first black graduates and role models of KSU, introduced as great examples of being the change they wish to see in the world, Mahatma Gandhi. Religion was purposefully interconnected with each school day, impossible to separate from the other. I also visualized the children bowing humbly in prayer and supplication for their meals each day. I can hear the children praying, appreciative and grateful for meals, whether grand or meager. Every child fed, no waste, and empowered to perform to the best of their ability. The families of students on and near Yuma Street would also be able to take advantage of several churches adjacent to the Douglas School or in close proximity that still remain today. Some of us have the audacity to believe that we are bold leaders. According to achievement.org, most historians date the beginning of the modern civil rights movement in the United States to December 1, 1955, the day when an unknown seamstress in Montgomery, Alabama, refused to give up her bus seat to a white passenger. The brave woman, Rosa Parks, was arrested and fined for violating a city ordinance. But her lonely act of defiance began a movement that ended legal segregation in America and made her an inspiration to citizens across the United States. Although small in stature, she would prove to be a giant in the civil rights movement after taking a stand. Her decision to proactively pivot encouraged her to remain seated, inspiring others to step up and step out in boldness. She would later join Dr. Martin Luther King in the fight for social justice across Alabama and across the nation. The examples shared with you this morning relate back to one man that transformed the world. Most of us remember Dr. King for his oratory skills. Some may also know that before he became famous and popular, he was criticized by both whites and blacks for his boldness. My minister reminded the congregation yesterday that when Dr. King was asked to identify the greatest accomplishment of the civil rights movement, in his pensive voice, he responded, "Common and ordinary people believing that they could change the world. The oppressed, the disenfranchised, seamstress, custodians, yard workers, and sanitation workers." Never afraid to speak up and speak out, Dr. King spoke boldly about black voter restrictions, redlined communities, segregated buses, education, and the signs colored only and white only that robbed blacks of their dignity. In a recent sermon highlighting Dr. King, my minister acknowledged his unique boldness. He stated, "Dr. King did not mince words. He spoke up. He was a knowledge gangster, a black history hitman, and a lie killer." He continued, "The masses of black people will always love Dr. King because he would not allow anything to stop him from promoting social justice. Amen. Jailhouses could not lock him out. Billy clubs could not beat him out. Dynamite could not bomb him out. Biting dogs could not bite him out. Fire hoses could not wash him out. And mob violence could not throw him out." We are not where we want to be in 2023. However, we are not where we used to be. Will we be bold and courageous in 2023 like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and do our part to make a difference, to enhance Manhattan, Kansas, to create a better and just centered state, nation, and world? Today, as we celebrate 94 years of the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., we are thankful for his visionary leadership and the inspiration to be proactive pivoters. I leave you with the final question and a challenge. How do you plan to honor Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in 2023? Thank you.